3-minute pod as I'm pulled over on the side of the road, and perhaps you can hear trucks and T-top Camaros whizzing by. So trade deadlines are fun, right? Like what anticipation, what titillation, what, you know. And even now, as I'm mumbling into my phone, there's the kind of idea that it's probably a false deadline. But you're listening to this, so you're a Bucks fan, and you know that it looks like we just got Pat Bev and traded Robin Lopez for cash. It's fine. It's fine. The thing is, there's a universe of possibilities, so there's always kind of this idea that there's some fleecing to take place. The Marcus Smart kind of level. Real difference maker, or just really what kind of what we seem to need guy. There's infinite possibilities. And nobody's particularly happy, and I'm not particularly happy. And of course, this means, it goes without saying, that for the 5 billionth year in a row, Chris Middleton has not been traded. As a side point to the side point in this 3-minute pod, like, how long have we had Chris Middleton at this point? Well, I'll tell you how long. When we acquired Chris Middleton, the number one movie was Pacific Rim. The number one song, this was the summer of Blurred Lines. Think about how long ago it was since Blurred Lines was the thing. Boston Marathon bombing was a big story in the news. The Ravens won the Super Bowl with Flacco. Like, again, the whole Flacco thing. This better not be a trade. Is this a trade? Let's see. Nah, it's not a trade. What was I saying? No, we can't trade him. He doesn't have any market, right? 10 years in a row. No, why would we trade him? There's no market for him. I think I'm more Pat Bev positive than the rest of you guys. It does kind of imply. I saw some people like kind of immediately going, well, Lillard hates him, so that's one more reason. Look, man, we're not winning a title if Lillard and Giannis don't get on the same page. I've only watched 2 of the Dot games. I'm not watching this terrible basketball. The implication and the kind of consensus seems to be everybody's like we're 1-4 or 1-5 or whatever, but it looks better. I will take your word for that. But I think Doc is a quality enough coach, and that's what I would think. I do like having a crazy guy on the team, because that's kind of the other thing about the Giannis leadership that we complain about just about every episode at this point now. You've got Giannis, right? And his crazy is focused on playing hard and playing harder and harder and harder in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, he's exhausted midway through the first quarter because his move. Somebody was talking, there was this whole controversy earlier in the week on whether he actually watches film. I don't know about any of that, but I mean, I'm sure it's on. Nothing about. There's not. Here's the best way to frame an argument if you want to win an argument. Out of any of the top forwards historically in his tier, this is how you win an argument. You can frame it another kind of way. You could be like, he's stupid, he's dumb. You don't need to do any of that. Out of any of the great players in his tier, big power forwards, big small forwards, so Garnett, Dirk, Barkley, Karl Malone, name all the guys. You can go to 6'10 centers, you can go to Hakeem, but just out of all those top players, which one of them is Giannis have greater court intelligence than? Who's the player that you can name and you'd be like, well, he's dumber than Giannis? I'm guessing you can't name any, but if you can, you name one. But again, that's not really. It's sort of the point, but it's the thing that pervades everything, that Giannis gets away with a lot of stuff, not because he's smart, but because he's basically a good guy. like it's a super bad look to dance right after getting Griffin fired, your second coach in 6 months or whatever. But he does that because he doesn't care. But like he does that because he's about doing fun stuff, and him just doing fun stuff, working hard in the gym, playing way too fast, and then also kind of being a good guy who pets, you know, gets kittens out of trees and all this kind of stuff. That's kind of always the disconnect with his PR personality. He just kind of goes through life and he's himself, and then he drops F-bombs in press conferences sometimes because, again, he just does whatever. And I don't think anybody listening to this would really disagree with the idea that he just does whatever. But what has been done, and it's not enough, and I won't pretend to know, I only know the personalities that we see on the court. I'm not saying I know people's general personalities, but we know what they show. And what they show, so obviously you can't get rid of Thanasis, but like we don't need two other brothers, right? Everybody's way too comfortable, and we've felt this way about the Bucks forever. Everybody's very well too comfortable in their roles. And you think about every other player, as the complaints today are about how the lineup is getting so old, every other player is also and has been complacent, except for the couple of names, the revered hollow names that we can name throughout the years. It's basically, I mean, am I forgetting somebody? Is it just basically PJ and Bobby for 9 years? Like, think of every other player. Think of Chris. Sweats a lot, his pulse never races, right? Malcolm Brogdon dunked on LeBron and looked at him like Michael Myers. Drew Holiday, like we saw Drew Holiday and Jimmy Butler, right? Just took it. Just took it. So who else am I even forgetting? The Jabari Parker era was that, and that was petulance, but that still wasn't. Who was the passionate guy? It's not Pat Connaughton. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody through the years. But that, again, the basic makeup of the team now, that does not exist. And now we have wild card crazy guy. And I'd say all things, it's not what I wanted out of the trade deadline, but it's fine. And if he's not comfortable, like, be a professional. I don't care whether him and Lillard get along or don't for 5 months or just period. And Robin Lopez, thank you for your service twice over again. I think to go back to all the old saws and kind of all the old complaints is I feel like everyone's saying, and I agree, that if Doc doesn't, this is not to make the old Griffin point particularly, but here's what I'll say. If Griffin has the worst defense you've ever, it just players tuned him out, which again speaks poorly to them too. They're supposed to be professionals, but players tuned him out after four games. I guess you could say Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez get mad at mascots, right? And every once in a while, if somebody really cheap shotted Giannis, Brook Lopez would start a fight, but not a whole lot of that either. So I think we can say that. So again, Griffin. I'm Doc Rivers positive. He's got the local connection. We needed a pro. We needed a guy who's used to managing egos, whether the egos particularly like him. I mean, sometimes the egos are Chris Paul and James Harden and Blake Griffin, and so that's the whole thing. Da-da-da. Why is Kendrick posting on? Why is he on Threads? And he's just posting the Pat Bev thing that we've all seen. Okay, great. If he doesn't play the rookies, the young guys, if he doesn't play Marjan and Jax, it would make sense because he's a veteran, kind of veteran old school coach. But that takes something off. But if he does that, and then he plays Chris Middleton 39 minutes, which is what he played the other day, how does that, like, if you got the scales of justice and it's like the scales, you know, justice is blind, and you have everything that Griffin did, and then you have a guy who's going to play Middleton way too much, not knowing that that doesn't work yet, and he's not going to play the young guys. Now, maybe these series of trades and non-trades just means that, yeah, they needed to save money on the apron or whatever, and then also that maybe they will play the young guys, and they think, well, how much is Wiggins better than the young guys? Or whatever. You know, I don't really know, but Yeah, and that's basically, man, that's all I got to say about that, really. My big concern, because for us to win, is going to be Lillard and Giannis, and they're going to have to play better. My concern, and anybody who's listened to me for more than 4 seconds knows how much I hate dumb, unforced turnovers. Yes, we know Giannis can't screen and everything else. They're dumb players. I don't think there was a reverse angle for one of these games that I was watching recently. I don't think Lillard really has pick and roll feel either. And when you see, it's like when you get like the angle like from behind the quarterback, and then the quarterback's like back, it's 2.1 seconds and he throws the ball, and you're like, oh, when I see it from this angle, I see that he's throwing the seam to the tight end, but really he has no idea whether that guy's going to be open or not. He has no idea whether the receiver's going to stumble. He can throw it kind of toward the sideline or wherever route we're talking about, but the quarterback's just giving his best guess. And when you see Lillard now with the pick and roll, his Chris-like turnovers feel different and hit different than the Chris turnovers, because I just feel like he can't see over the top. The advantage to the Chris turnovers that are sometimes three straight nice alley-oops is Chris doesn't think. Chris doesn't think. A team full of non-thinkers, right? And I'm supposed to believe they watch film. But Chris just throws it. Chris just decides in the middle of the pick and roll, I'm passing. And he just throws where the ball might go. And Giannis goes up and dunks it. Or it's a turnover and goes the other way for a dunk. But either way, he's not thinking. Lillard is like reaching around guys who are much bigger. And if he's going to be in this kind of mediocre to bad shape, he's doing a lot of, I don't know how much, not being a Blazer fan, how much he's doing a lot of like trying to wrap it around guys' bodies who are crashing at him. And they look like they were supposed to be turnovers. And that's really concerning me. The Lillard turnovers are, quiet as is kept, the most bothering thing about all of this. Because I think he'll get hot in the playoffs. Or at least maybe there'll be more bad losses, but there'll be more key wins. And that's basically what I'm hanging my hat on right now. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Feels like the Niners. I think if the Chiefs jump out to 14-0, it's going to seem pretty silly. The Chiefs haven't been that good all year. And it feels like the Niners are due for a good game. And the Chiefs are the kind of team they can scheme against. And perhaps the nature of the field and the other kind of stuff we've been hearing, it all seems to be in the Niners' favor. If the Niners get the ball, they should get the ball. They should take the ball first if they have the choice. And they should try to go down and get a lead, which is like, duh, they should try to get a lead. It's football, but I think that's probably the thing. Yeah, confidence. I'd like to say confidence is high. I just think Pat Bev will help a little bit. And he'll play the wild card, and he won't be afraid to get into a fight and do a bunch of other stuff. It's still a positive day, but I understand why everybody is basically bummed. And did we get older, and did we everything else? And let me look at my phone one more time to see if there's any other deals. Doesn't look like it. I don't know, man. Zip it up, zip it up.